If you like the Middle-Aged Man Talk podcast, consider giving us your support on Patreon.
Eliminate food.
Eliminate food.
Yeah, eliminate
Richard's
going to
do
my
an
diet.
Elimination diet. Welcome to the Middle-Aged Man Talk podcast. I'm your host, Brendan.
And I'm your other host, Richard.
And tonight we're talking about food elimination. I can eliminate a plate of food, no problem. That was a bit Casey Kasem in my voice, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
A little bit Casey Kasem. I take advantage of government programs and poor people, according to that documentary by Michael Moore. I don't know if it's true. It's probably true.
Or there's a kernel of truth to it.
Well, Casey Kasem apparently was in the documentary. Well, it looks like him. Like, and they're closing the van door quickly, and they drive away. So, this is not a new news story, but it's a funny news story. When you think of perfumes, what do you think of?
Whale vomit.
Interesting. That is an ingredient. But seriously, though, when you actually think of perfumes and, like, you know, elegant, you think Paris, you know, you think Milan, Italy, you think of, oh, that's like the all the signs, you know, ooh, look at this fancy French perfume. Well, apparently they made one in Idaho, the Idaho Potato Commission, and they
had potato perfume,
a French fry perfume, so you can French fries,
like, when you think just peanut oil.
I don't know what it is, but yes, apparently the Idaho Commission in this past February had it for Valentine's Day, right in time, a French fry perfume.
So American.
It's in Idaho. We think of Idaho, we think of potatoes. We don't think of world-class European perfumes, but we do think of potatoes. Yeah. That's a weird news story.
Yes, I have to admit that there is something nice about the smell of, you know, the exhaust from a fast food restaurant from about, you know, two blocks away when you're hungry.
The new A&W downtown, I smelled it from like 3.5 blocks away yesterday evening. I was just downtown taking my son out to one of his activities, and I'm going for a walk after I dropped him off. And I was like, that's onion rings. them onion rings.
It's a pleasant smell. I'll give it that. And it may make me hungry, but not in the way she wants.
The way she wants. Wow, honey, you smell great. The French fry lover in your life may go head over heels for this perfume. I'm on the NPR website. What do you expect? The Idaho Potato Commission is giving away a French fry scented perfume ahead of Valentine's Day. They were giving it away. Yeah, I kind of think you'd have to. Limited edition fragrance going for $1.89 per 1.7 ounces. So about $1 an ounce. So when you think of fancy perfumes.
I was expecting for 1.7 gallons. This is the States, no. You know.
Well, when you think of.
It's just used French fry oil.
Yes. When you think of fancy perfumes, $1,000 US an ounce or something crazy, or 1,000 euro yeah. an ounce. $1 American an ounce. I'm actually wondering.
This is Idaho.
This is Idaho, which is the potato capital of America. I'm just kind of wondering, how much are French fries in Idaho? If I went to a regular restaurant in Idaho, is it a dollar? It's probably cheaper than $1 an ounce. Could I actually buy actual French fries and just rub them on me for cheaper than buying their French? How do you make a French fry perfume?
Probably a lot of chemistry.
It is made from distilled Idaho potatoes and essential oils.
So it's potato vodka and oil.
Essential oils. So yeah. It's is that weird? I think this is weird.
So it's probably essential peanut oil.
Yeah, because you can't make potato oil out of potatoes.
Well, you can. You can make, but it's not going to smell like potatoes.
No. You can get an oil from potato?
Not from the. There's probably a small amount of oil in the skin, but from the plants, you could get oils from the. But it's going to smell like. A potato plant smells like a tomato plant. It's got that very pungent.
Right, because they're both nightshades.
Yes.
That's weird. So they actually say here that apparently, according to the firm Pole Fish, which does polling, 90% of Americans find the smell of French fries irresistible. But I think that's more in a culinary, epicurious kind of way.
Yes.
Not so much a sexy Valentine's way.
See,
Idaho is...
There's lots of people who love the smell of garlic. They really like garlic stuff. There's cultures that's they use tons and tons of garlic.
The Italians, the Greeks like it a lot.
Yep.
Which one is it across the water? Croatia from Italy that uses it? I can't remember which one.
I don't know, but
one of those.
No one's ever suggested using garlic as a perfume, unless you're scared of vampires.
That's right.
I'm just gonna dab a little roast chicken behind my ears.
Ooh, roast chicken. Mmm. My wife knows how to roast a chicken. When I smell that chicken, I'm as hard as a rock. That's terrible. My wife's not gonna like that joke. Any joke to do with the penis, and my wife hates it in our podcast.
Is that kind of Freudian?
No, she just like, stop talking about your penis. Women don't like penis jokes the same way men don't like vagina jokes. A woman's like, whoa, I'm having a woof day down there. Men don't want to hear that. Your vagina is having a woof day? What does that mean? It's woofing at me. Aunt Bernice, this is not right. Please stop talking.
Isn't that a queef?
I don't want to know. That was an episode of South Park. It was terrible. They were comparing, farts to queefs. I don't know if we should leave this in the show. I mean, I kind of like these jokes, but they're not very debonair.
Yes, because that's exactly what we are, is debonair.
Debonair.
I'll go get my top hat and my monocle.
Monocle. So on to tonight's top topic. Top topic? Tonight's top topic.
Hot topic?
Hot topic or story. So this happened recently-ish. A man in a wig, so a kind of a lazy transvestite by the story, was detained in France after throwing a piece of cake at the Mona Lisa.
Not just in a wig. He was also in a wheelchair.
Yes, he was disguised as an old woman in a wheelchair. I think you know it's all about this.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
So this guy did a Mrs. Doubtfire, and apparently he did it for environmental reasons, to bring attention to how we're destroying the environment. I think we all know we're doing that.
And I'm not sure exactly how smearing cake on the... it's on the protective glass.
Well, apparently back in the, the 50s, someone tried to throw some kind of acid at it. So after that, they put glass in front of it in the Louvre. They have glass in front of all the really important paintings and artwork. But the thing with the Mona Lisa is it wasn't that famous till it was stolen for the... It was the second time, which was in 1911. And it was like missing for 2 years. And it was a big thing. It was in the news in Paris. And that's when the painting actually became famous. So it's only really been famous for about 100 years or so. Previous to that, it was just another one of Da Vinci's works. I mean, certainly one that people liked, but it wasn't this kind of world famous.
Yeah, it didn't have that. Yeah,
it didn't have that star power yet.
It's interesting how artwork is like that, in that there is a certain, the technique does matter to a certain degree, but the history of the piece of art is almost more important than the artwork itself. Cachet.
Yeah, there's a certain, there's actually a modern art piece of art done, which they took, I forget what painting it was, I think it was an impressionist painting, but I could be wrong, but they took this basically a copy of this classic painting, and then all of the legal transition of ownership documents, and framed them like all together, kind of, one side by side, because now this painting, the actual original, is stored in someone's super secure, humidity, temperature controlled safe, and now it's become a commodity. It's become an investment as opposed to a piece of art.
And actually, that's what a lot of art is that's actually sold. It sits in storage things on borders. So basically, so that they're not so they're tax free, because it's not in the country.
Oh, I see. It's in the in between zone.
Yes, they're stuck in the warehouse in the duty free shop.
Right, and someone pays rent for this.
Yeah, and so it's you put stuff there, and it sort of sits in no country, and you can sell, and these things get bought and sold, and they might not ever move.
Right, Because now you own it, now they own it. Yeah, the whole art world's kind of interesting.
And it's the and these things are ways of essentially laundering money. They might not be the illegal laundering of money like you think of, you know,
it's,
the mafia.
It's more of a legal tax evasion.
Yes, exactly. It's laundering money and you're hiding it from the government.
Well, your business spends money on that, so you can maybe do a tax write-off. Well, we bought this as a something for the business cost. Okay. Yep. And then later you sell it or you transfer it to one of your executives as a payment or a gift or something.
Yeah.
And then they can resell it. Yes, there's a lot of kind of shenanigans with art. Yeah. But the Mona Lisa, the whole cake thing, I thought, they said it was a piece of cake, not a whole cake. And I thought, how did he, was it in the wheelchair? Is how he snuck some cake into the Louvre?
Well, who's going to stop an old crippled lady from eating her cake in the...
I would. Take it outside, man. This is France.
So the reason why he used the wheelchair was because there's a special disability access so people who are disabled can get closer to the works of art.
That's interesting.
So that they actually get in behind the bollards.
Oh, so he could actually be close enough to...
To see it as opposed... Because you're sitting down, you're in a wheelchair, you're sitting down, there's people standing in front of you, you're not going to see anything in it.
Right.
So he abused... something that was done for disability.
To throw a piece of cake. What an odd thing to throw. And of course, like, my first question is, what kind of cake was it? Like, think about it. Like, do you go the chocolate, classic, you know, messy, or a strawberry, so it's pink, colorful? What do you...
You know, was it, you know, it was like some sort of, like, a green cake, you know, for, so it was with green icing, so, you know, get the green
That's
message.
That's illegal,
you know?
In France. None of that BS in France. Only proper cakes.
Yeah.
They're very serious about dessert and pastries over there.
But really, it's like, okay, so yes, the Mona Lisa's famous. Okay, that, and, you know, it's going to make international news. But what's his message for the environment?
Back
and in the worst case scenario, what he's done is made it so that disabled people can't get closer to the artwork.
Or they're going to want to search them thoroughly to make sure they're not running any cake. But I just feel kind of funny, like, because you kind of think, like, in Canada... There's no food or drink allowed in any of our, like, you know, proper art places. Like,
no.
The Art Gallery of Ontario or the National Art Gallery in Ottawa, where I've been to those places a few times. Yeah, you can't bring anything in. I think they even want you to check your backpack and the lockery coat check thing if you have a backpack, because people will take out stuff. I still like to pull a Tom Green, though, and hang up my own piece of art in an art gallery. Apparently, it's actually been done a number of times. That bit that Tom Green did, the Canadian comedian, years ago, where he hung up his own piece of art and started drawing on it in the National Art Gallery, then security chased him, which I think was a bit set up. I think they did it.
Yeah.
But still, though, apparently people have done this just to get their artwork in the gallery. They sneak it in, and when no one's looking, they just stick it to the wall, and they put a little placard or something, and they go, oh, now it's in the gallery. Now I have art in the gallery. But apparently they do take them down and get rid of them, because it's, you know, it's crap by an unknown.
Yep.
Usually it's probably not very good art. Anyway, the one story I wanted to talk about tonight, which is a fairly recent story, I was in Tennessee. There was a couple, and they have three dogs, husband and wife. And they wake up one morning in bed, and the guy's kind of like, what? What's... He's like, whose dog is this? And his wife's like, what? And she turns, because they have three dogs, all sleep in the bed, right? She turns over and goes, this huge, big, brown, lovable dog. And she's like, this isn't our dog. Where'd it come from? And that's kind of weird, right? They're like, how'd it get in the house? The other dogs never barked. The other three dogs. So the woman went on social media saying, we found a dog.
In our bed.
In our bed.
You dog.
Yeah, you dog. What a dog. They woke up in the morning, and looked at the dogs, and there's a fourth dog here, and a big dog, too. Anyway, apparently the owners of the dog, not far from them, were walking the dog. It got spooked by a thunderstorm rolling through. It's Tennessee this time of year, I guess. And it took off into the woods. And it took off into the woods, and the dog slipped its collar and took off into the woods,
ran away.
And the woman figured, who woke up in the bed next to this dog, with her between her and her husband, cuddled right in there. She figured that one of the doors of their house, like the porch door, didn't close completely, and the porch light was on. So this dog was, you know, thunderstorm scared, saw a light in the house, went on in. Oh, other dogs, oh, a bed. I'll cuddle on in. So they actually became friends now, this other couple that owns this dog, and they've taken all the dogs, all four, on play dates together. So it's kind of a nice, fun story, but it is kind of funny to wake up and go,
Yes, waking up with a strange dog in your bed is got to be very disorienting.
That's a bit... Well, she said her husband apparently had pulled the bed sheet up, like, as to protect himself from, like, a 60-pound dog. Oh, no! That's kind of funny. It's kind of a weird story. I mean, it's kind of a feel-good story. You know, there's nothing controversial about it.
It'd be funnier if they didn't own dogs.
No. Oh, I think the owners of the dog that ran away were a lesbian couple. There's the controversy. Gay people can own dogs in Tennessee now. When did this happen? I'm just like, sorry. Like, every time there's American news, it's like, can we just leave gay people alone? I've been saying this for decades. Let's just let them be gay and carry on with their lives. There's more important things to worry about, like Richard's heartburn. Back to your heartburn. So, Dr. Hyman, not spelled that way, I've been doing his diet now for 6-7 weeks, and I'm feeling tremendous. I'm finding it easier to cycle and lift things. I have less joint muscle pain when exercise. And my version of it is basically no grains, no dairy, and no sugar. Or no added sugars of any kind.
So... Reading.
Oh, and very low fruit. Basically just low insulin, low glycemic fruit like berries to a limited degree.
So for the GERD diet, for gastro...
GERD diet?
Yeah, GERD diet.
No wonder it's not popular with a name like that.
It's gastroesophageal... basically, it's the heartburn diet. It's what you eat when you're in heartburn. It's lots of whole grains.
Lots of whole grains? Really?
Yes.
What are whole grains? Like...
Like, as in, you know, like, so if you're going to buy bread, whole grain bread,
they add sugar to it. That's good for you.
Well, sugar doesn't bother. It isn't a big trigger for heartburn. Things like, oatmeal's really good. That's also whole grain. Popcorn's whole grain.
Is popcorn? I guess it is. You don't really eat the, you can't eat the outside.
You eat the outside.
I can't eat popcorn anymore. Well, because of this diet, but also I have a partial braces now. See? Stainless steel, very expensive, very fancy. See my fancy mouth stuff? That diet doesn't sound very exciting.
Well, no, these are not. Leafy greens are good. Basically, stuff with
the high celery I brought you that you ate almost all of. Last time I brought celery. Last time I brought celery. Celery is actually mandatory on chicken wings. It's the law. You have to have celery next to chicken wings. You don't have to eat it or even look at it. It just has to be there.
Celery. Carrot sticks, and usually blue cheese.
Blue cheese dressing.
Yeah.
Do you want the blue cheese dressing or ranch? I'd like the blue cheese dressing, please. It's really blue cheesy. Good. It's called blue cheese dressing. If it wasn't blue cheesy, what are we doing here? Why do we exist?
Yeah, ever since I ate at Score Pizza and got blue cheese on my Score Pizza, I've not been able to eat blue cheese.
Why? What's wrong with this? I like Score Pizza.
Oh, Score Pizza's great. It's just that...
Is it like a blue cheese sauce?
No, it was chunks of blue, but it was just huge things of blue cheese. But
blue cheese is kind of a little expensive-y. That's a weird thing to have on a pizza.
Well, you had to ask for it, because Square is build your own pizza. And I'm like, I don't mind blue cheese. I'll try that, because it's kind of different. But it was just so much, and it was so... It was probably the strongest blue cheese I've ever eaten.
It was like a real Danish blue cheese.
And I have not been able to...
Can't do it since. Yeah, it's a bit too much. I mean, I like a stinky blue cheese. It's actually funny. My mother-in-law and I, she's from Denmark, we'll both eat the stinkiest cheese and enjoy it. Everyone else is like, look. Anyway, one of my nephews now, he's like teenager, young man. He likes all that stinky cheese too. He's like, aha, one of us. So now there's three of us in the family that will eat. I mean the stinky cheese that smells like bad meat. Like, but it's like, it's kind of good if you do it right with the things. Not that I'm doing it right now. But yeah, but you should check out the Dr. Hyman Heartburn. Because he has like a podcast for everything, or like a suggestion for everything. You should Google it, see what he says. It might be the same as your, what do you call it, a GERD diet?
Yeah, I tend to trust things from like the Mayo Clinic and stuff like that.
Well, this guy's a proper MD.
Yeah.
But then he did functional medicine training later in his career. After he'd been an MD for quite a while, because he had his own medical problems. He's like, wait a minute, I'm not actually like curing myself. I'm just taking medication to you know, fix the symptom of why I feel bad or why I'm overweight or why I'm whatever. So he got into functional, because functional medicine is like, you drink too much coffee, you eat too much sugar, you need to exercise more. Try meditation. It actually helps you to mellow yourself out and lower your blood pressure. So they look at all these kinds of other things to do, like diet. Diet's the big one. But modern medicine doesn't really look at diet or nutrition. They just kind of look at, don't eat too much, you know, walk around the block.
Well, I don't know. I've been, you know, this has been something that, you know, part of modern medicine has been telling people to don't smoke, don't drink as much, and don't drink as much caffeine. That's been part of, you know, standard doctors, you know.
Don't overindulge, which makes sense. It's in the Bible.
You know, part of Western medicine is these things, you know, those are the big three ones. And you should probably exercise more.
You're kind of fat. If you could just run around a bit, that'd be great. The problem is, if you're, yeah, I'm putting my teeth back in.
Invisalign.
Actually, these are Clarity brand from 3M. It's like the Coke Pepsi of the plastic teeth straightening world. These are new ones for today, so they feel weird going in. Ah! Ah, new teeth. Ugh. Like, so I was wearing my last ones for 10 days, and I was, like, super comfortable in them, and now these ones are new, so they're kind of pushing everything a little bit more.
Yeah.
I'm on pair 2 of 32. Now I'm going to talk funny for the rest of the podcast. That's okay, though. Our two fans won't mind. Next week, our one fan. So, is that a show now to put my teeth back in?
I think so.
It's not going to get any better than that. Once I put my teeth back in, that's it. The show's over.
Now you've got this funny lisp.
Good night, everybody. Have a great week. I sound like Howard the Duck. Are we done?
I think we're done. Okay. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night. Check out Dr. Hyman for your heartburn or blood pressure problems. We are not sponsored in any way.
Yes, and I still say he missed his calling not being a gynecologist.
A gynecologist. I like the joke of a gynecologist. Oh, they're a vaginecologist? It's pronounced gynecologist? That can't be right. No one has a gyna. A vagina? No, it's a vagina. That's why you're a vaginecologist.
And this, if you live in Regina.
Regina? A reginacologist. There's someone who studies the city of Regina, Canada.
Yep. I think we're done.
We're done. Once we start doing Regina jokes, we're out of here. Good night.
Good night.
Middle-aged man talk. Thank you so much for listening. Please check us out on Patreon. Woof.